Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Welcome back in Ruthless Aggression. I am Pierce, joined by Rob and Chris. We are less than a week away from the Elimination Chamber, Toronto, Ontario, Canada. First big event at the Sky Dome since WrestleMania 18. That is crazy. Welcome back to the Sky Dome, WWE. Well, Rogers Center, if we're going the Willis Tower route of it, the Rogers Center. So we'll dive into the Elimination Chamber. We also got some wrestling in 2009. We've made it to 2009. It is not a good year. January, we got a Raw in Chicago. That was my very first televised WWE show ever. Leading into, it was a really good show for your first televised event. Leading into the Royal Rumble, which I believe was Detroit.
Yes, it was in Detroit.
Royal Rumble was in Detroit at the Joe. So we'll get into that. But a couple of notes throughout the week or the last week and a half. SmackDown happened on Friday. We'll get to the big announcement of WrestleMania next year shortly. That's why The Rock was there. It was in New Orleans. We'll talk about that in a short bit. But after he made that announcement, maybe the weirdest Rock promo that I have ever seen. He brought Cody Rhodes down to the ring. Obviously, there's history between the two of them. And he said that he wants Cody to be his champion. And Cody's like, you know, I'm their champion, technically people's champion, right? Wink, wink. Rock said, no, I don't want your title. I don't want to take your title. I want your soul. Pause. This was a very coded promo towards Cody. And I mean, there's a lot of layers to it. Like, obviously, you could talk about like what it means for Cody Rhodes moving forward, or Cody and The Rock. Like, we're doing this, and we've been kind of set on, you know, Cody and John Cena at WrestleMania. I think that still will happen. This is, you know, there's another layer of, is this a play for next year's Mania, or is this just Rock doing shit to be The Rock? Who knows? But I guess, let me wrap up. I guess the biggest segue for me is, Rock done lost that fastball. And yeah, we knew Rock lost the fastball. But when he doesn't have material to work with, he's not a good promo anymore. And it's so sad to see. It really is. But
yeah, he was kind of all over the place.
He was. I think it could be a mix of Rock doing what Rock thinks that he can do, what he wants to do, because he has that power and authority now. I do think that there is a method to his madness. I think Cody and The Rock wrestling seems like a very likely scenario. It's not going to happen this year, obviously, because it's way too quick of a turnaround. It could happen later on in the year, I guess, in all theory, but I don't think that that's what they're looking for right now. And I don't think that's what they would be looking to do, especially if The Rock is going to get involved now, and if they're going to subtly tie you into knowing and thinking about New Orleans next year. I think Cody versus The Rock next year at WrestleMania seems like a likely endpoint of all this. Where it has me somewhat intrigued is where we begin, because they're having Cody, you know, accept or decline his The Rock's offer to be his champion. He's not going to do that. Let's just get that out of the way. He's not going to do that.
Yeah.
And even though there's people who, of course, they want him to do, he's not going to turn heel. He's not turning heel for the same reason John Cena never turned heel. He's not turning heel for the same reason Bianca's probably never turning heel. He's probably not turning heel because right now, even with Jay's popularity and even with whoever would be third on the list of babyfaces, they can't do what Cody does.
No.
They're not doing what Cody does. They weren't built to do what Cody does. So he is not the one turning. What you should be wondering is who is. And I think that it's going to be a big influence on who wins on Saturday. Does that mean that John Cena is going to turn? I don't know. But for the same reasons that I just said Cody can't turn, Cena can now. He can. It's funny. But he can turn now. It's fine. It doesn't make bad business for him to be a bad guy in wrestling, especially when The Rock is literally doing it right now. So it's different. And then you could say, okay, well, maybe it's not Cena. Maybe it's Punk. There's a lot to that. Punk would be desperate enough to join up with The Rock, who prevented him from getting to the top. He deemed John Cena the New York Yankees however many years ago, and he would beat him to get to WrestleMania, and then he would beat Cody, who he's wanted to basically be this entire time.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of layers to that as well. So in a way, I think that this enhanced things slightly, as long as, you know, they go through the through lines here. But what I also say is I think that I'm not going to say that I get the negative reactions, because I really don't. But I don't see a feeling in the air that whatever's happening right now is going to lead to some potential sabotage or whatever the fucking hell everyone wants.
No, I mean, he's not going to, you know, upset the whole card or whatever.
Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, and you could tell during his promo that, you know, he wants to be liked. He wants to be the good guy, but I don't think that they're letting him.
Well,
and I think that he has to understand that, and that's why he's doing what he's doing.
Yeah, again, I mean, I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see where it goes at Elimination Chamber. I mean, there's really no way to, like, read on it right now otherwise. I mean, it's hard with The Rock because, you know, you can just do whatever.
He's really going to do whatever the fuck he wants. That's the interesting part about it all. well, he was there in New Orleans besides that to announce that WrestleMania 42 next year will be coming back to the Big Easy. Obviously, you know, Super Bowl 59 was there just 2 weeks ago. Shout out, go Birds. This is the third WrestleMania in New Orleans, and it's all happening within the last 12 years. Oh, when we get to this point, it will have been 12 years since the first one. So it means you avoided New Orleans for 30 years, damn near 30 years, and now you've been back 3 years in 12. I love New Orleans. I was there for 34. After seeing 30 and saying, man, I can't miss the next WrestleMania in New Orleans. And I didn't. It's a great city. It's a great host venue. Do you think that WWE is going back to the well and going to New Orleans a little too much?
I mean, in a way, like, but also the Superdome is kind of like America's, like, premier stadium at this point, at least as far as, like, indoor stadiums. You know, they've had, what, 7 or 8 Super Bowls. This was their 8th. They talk about doing a Super Bowl. Yeah, so this is the most of those, obviously, a bunch of Final Fours. So, like, I get it. I don't get not going there for the first 30 years is what I kind of, like, because now they're kind of making up for lost time. Like, I don't get why it took them 30 years to get down there. Now, granted, you know, they didn't do football stadiums for WrestleMania for the first however long, but, you know, still, it's weird that they haven't gone to Atlanta yet, but besides that...
Well, they haven't gone back to Atlanta.
Yeah, since they opened the new stadium, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, besides that, like, it's not like there's anywhere that, you know, quote-unquote needs a WrestleMania that's not getting one, you know.
Miami!
New Orleans getting one, I mean... You know, Indianapolis is apparently getting one at some point. You know, Minnesota got the 2-night SummerSlam instead. So, yeah. Like, it's...
Take it or leave it, you know?
Yeah, so it's like you go to one of the three places in Florida where they go with your Orlando, Miami, or Tampa, or Texas again, or, you know, they're not going West Coast again for a while after having two out of three out there. So, yeah, I mean, it kind of makes sense to go to New Orleans.
Yeah, by process of elimination and all that, I am still very surprised that they didn't go to Atlanta. I think that in a weird way, I guess, the reason that they averted New Orleans is because it was in the South. I know they went to Florida or whatever, but I mean,
it's much different New Orleans than Florida.
Yeah, yeah. They decided to brand the South as the South, so they never went to the South for their big shows.
Or it's whatever. Fair.
It was all in the Northeast or in the North or whatever, or out West. But yeah, I understand anyone who would feel like, you know, maybe they are doing a little too much, but it is New Orleans, so it sort of is what it is. Ultimately, I'm sure that if people wanted them to do it every year in New Orleans, they probably would be receptive to that. But again, it's what it is.
Yeah, I mean, you're never going to hear me complain about anyone going to New Orleans. It is one of my top three favorite American cities: Chicago, obviously, and Los Angeles, and New Orleans. I think Miami is kind of due. They've only done the one in Miami, and you know it has undergone a structural change, that stadium. So Miami can obviously get one again. Orlando is a premier destination. I'm actually a little bit shocked that they've done three in New Orleans, where they've done three in Orlando, because you know Orlando's their base technically now.
Yeah.
It's a family friendly city. You can go in and go to Disney or go to Universal and spend the weekend there, and then cap it off with going to WrestleMania. So that's obviously a great city to go to. But yeah, you know, there are just like a certain few cities, you know, that they haven't gone to or haven't gone back to. Like, I'm gonna be honest with you, I never thought Philly would get a WrestleMania. When they announced Philly at WrestleMania, I was shocked. And, like, you know, you saw how cold folks was on day one. That's part of the reason why they've kind of strayed away from doing these outdoor shows in the Northeast or, you know, in cold weather cities. Chicago's not going to get one again until they build that dome. You know, I think Arizona could probably get another one. But, I mean, you know, like, I'm going to be honest with you, like, it's Arizona. Like, you know, I was at the Royal Rumble in Phoenix at Chase Field, and, like, there's not – so much to do in that downtown area. Like, yeah, you can go to Scottsdale or you can, you know, go kick it anywhere. But, you know, when it comes to uniting an entire group of people for not only just the wrestling, but, you know, the nightlife, the scenes, the restaurants, like, you're not going to find much better than New Orleans. That's why the NFL's gone there 8-9 times for the Super Bowl, and they'll continue to, because the Superdome just keeps getting renovated and keeps, you know, withstanding the test of time, and eventually it will not. And eventually they'll build a new stadium right there close to Canal Street, and everything will still be good because it's New Orleans. But can't wait. Gonna be a real fun show. Las Vegas is gonna be very fun too. I'm trying to get my plans in for Las Vegas now. Fuck, it's expensive though.
Yeah.
Let's talk about NXT. The Absolute One has appeared on Tuesday nights, no longer going by the name Ricky Starks. He is now Ricky Saints, speaking of New Orleans. Giving a little shout out to his hometown with the Saints name. Lots of hype for Ricky coming in. You know, I think there's not a lot of folks in it because, you know, they've reverted it to a true development. So there's not a lot of folks down in NXT who can really rock it on the mic like Ricky can. And I guess he's made his intentions known. Do you think that he is going to be the one to dethrone El Buffemi and win the NXT title? Or is it Moose?
I mean, if it makes a lot of sense for it to be Ricky, it doesn't make any sense for it to be me.
None.
You know, but yeah, I mean, Ricky kind of feels like he should be next up there because that men's division's not great.
No, it's place, not. Like, it's not.
You know, he kind of feels like, yeah, he is like the biggest star that doesn't have the title right now, at least as far as the men go. So I think.
Which was how Ethan Page felt.
Exactly.
He,
yeah,
he immediately got the title on.
Yeah. I think Ricky is next up for the title. Yeah. And I think that's the thing. Like, we've seen them do it with people that jump from AEW too.
We've
just be
seen
like,
it
hey,
from,
you know, when you jump, you're going to be fine.
How long did it take Kevin Owens to win the title?
That
they
too.
Don't, they,
that
they,
too.
They've done this.
That was right away. Yeah.
Predates all this.
Yep.
You said it yourself. I think it's been clear for now last few years. There's some talent. I'm not gonna deride anybody or whatever, but I think that Starks arrived and he's clearly the biggest star that they have right now because he just comes off that way in a way that TV training, you know, however you want to call it over there, has given him that benefit that he has over everyone else. That's why people from TNA, when they would come up, they would go through the system a lot quicker because they got the TV training before. And I think that also as NXT's starting to pivot, really, if you think about it, the last few events that they've had, there's been some main roster involvement.
Mm.
And now that they have Evolve, which is coming to Tubi, now that they have the LFG show on A&E, they also have the WWE ID thing. In a way, they've sort of created what I think they will eventually become a tier system, sort of like MLB does, where NXT is sort of just like AAA, where you have some of the people who are about to get there, and then you have some main roster people who dip down. You see that all the time with basically people who are the equivalent, no disrespect, of a basic 4A player who goes back and forth. And I think that system is going to eventually work for them. What they need to do is just, they need to hope for some luck and churn out some good dudes, because I think that the women have done it a lot better and a lot quicker down there over the past 7-8 years. And I think that's showing in the TV, and it's showing in the development, showing that who's emerged out of NXT and who hasn't.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's fair. Yeah, no, I think that's a really good way to put it, actually. I didn't really think of it like that, but yeah, no, absolutely.
All right, let's talk about the Elimination Chamber. Like I said, in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, this is the final PLE before WrestleMania.
Yes.
It'll also be the final Elimination Chamber appearance of the one and only John Cena, which leads us to our first Elimination Chamber match that will determine who will face Cody Rhodes at WrestleMania. Cena is in the match along with CM Punk, Drew McIntyre, Logan Paul, Damian Priest, and Seth freaking Rollins. We briefly chatted about it during the Rock stuff and Rock and Cody. I think there's truly only two options.
Agreed.
Of who would win. Drew's got other plans. Logan Paul's not going to be facing Cody Rhodes in the main event of WrestleMania. I'll tell you that much. Damian Priest is not there in a WrestleMania main event mode, and Seth's got other plans clearly. Whether they involve Punk or not, who knows? However, there are two dudes that for the longest have stated what their intention is at WrestleMania specifically, and that is CM Punk and John Cena. John Cena is the obvious here. That's what we've been expecting. It's his final WrestleMania. It would be apropos for him to wrestle in his final WrestleMania in the main event for the title to try to get 17. CM Punk, this is always what he has wanted. You know, championships, yeah, it's fine. Money is great. Wrestling in the main event of WrestleMania has been his goal from day one that he stepped into the business. He went away, and now he's back with that same intention. So those are the only two guys that can realistically win this match. And I want to say John Cena because I think it's the right call. You know, question is, if you go towards John Cena, what does CM Punk do? Does he join that triple threat? You know, with Roman and Seth, I don't necessarily know. And on the other side, if CM Punk wins, what does John Cena do?
Yeah.
Of course, they did a little stare down between him and Jacob Fatu when he was coming down to the ring at WrestleMania. Fatu had gotten eliminated.
Mm-hmm.
However, weird rumblings around the Twitter sphere is that Fatu is going to have a WrestleMania match against the man that he loves, Solo Sikoa. So it's really hard right now to pin down exactly what would happen.
Yeah, it kind of feels like it's either Cody and Punk, and then Cena probably faces Logan Paul, or it's Cena and Cody, and then they do the triple threat with Punk and Roman and Seth. Because, you know, again, assuming Rock doesn't wrestle, like if Rock does wrestle, he's not going to wrestle Cody anyway, because then this chamber wouldn't mean anything. So if he's going to wrestle, then it would be against Roman, and then that would just mean Punk and Seth as a singles match. So yeah, it doesn't really play in there. So yeah, again, the two winners, it has to be Cena or Punk. You know, we've talked about it quite a bit with regards to Cena, like, he really shouldn't win the title yet.
Yeah, but we didn't think, we didn't consider the fact that The Rock could help
him. That's true.
That's the thing. In our theories, we just assume that it's just a babyface battle of a generation, and Cody just beats him.
That's also correct.
Okay, like, whatever. Fine.
Yeah.
You add this element to it, then, okay, maybe it makes a little sense.
No, you're not
then,
wrong.
Because then, if that does happen, then the guy who beats Cena for the title is made him. And it's, you know, it is Cody again.
No, for sure.
Pursuit.
Yes, I think I'm going to go with Cena, just because, you know, it's been the direction that we've kind of been thinking the entire time, unless there is some sort of thing that we're not seeing, but the only thing would be CM Punk, I think. But yeah, I'm going to go with Cena.
Yeah, I want to be different, but I just can't. I'm going to go with Cena.
I likewise want to be different, and I cannot be different. So, John Cena. Cody Rhodes, would love to see you. Would love to see one of the two. I don't care who it is, whether it's Cena or Cody, heal it up, because I think both can do that. I don't subscribe to the idea that Cody can't turn heel because it's John Cena. It's John Cena. John Cena is the most beloved or be hated, depending on who you are, wrestler of this era. The way he can generate that heat or that pop. Cody, we've known and we've seen it, can be a great heel when he's motivated. That's what I want to see. Would I love to see John Cena finally turn heel? Yeah, cool. I don't know if he can do it. Be honest with you. Even if he partners up with The Rock. Something about that don't really seem right to me, brother.
Mm-hmm.
So would I rather see Cody as a heel in this? Yes, I think that's kind of, you know, what has been trending within his character over the last couple of months, and maybe he dyes that hair, maybe he don't. Either way, give me him and Cena for the belt. That'd be absolutely wonderful. And if Cena doesn't win, it is what it is. If he does, it'd be, you know, a momentous victory, a momentous ending to WrestleMania. So we'll see. And maybe he does, because just going off of last year, it seems like they've tried to start pivoting back to WrestleMania ending on a momentous occasion.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily what the booker thinks is best for business. You know, that's really what WrestleMania was built off of, is guys getting their moment.
Yeah.
You know, so we'll see what happens with that. We'll come back to the other Elimination Chamber match. We got three other matches currently on the card for this. Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens will be in an unsanctioned match, and I think we know where this is leading.
Yeah.
So, Sami, congratulations. Kevin, I hope you recover from that RKO.
Yeah, pretty much.
Pretty much.
Like it's time. They've been talking about, like, and if Randy doesn't come back, I don't know what Kevin's doing at WrestleMania, so it kind of feels like, you know, he has to. So.
Well, yeah, I would agree, but at the same time, I think that someone's feelings are going to get hurt.
No, fair enough.
But I don't know if it's going to be KOs.
Yeah.
I'll be fair here. I don't know if it's going to be KOs. Somebody's going to get their feelings hurt.
Yeah.
But anyways, yeah, we know where this is going. Yeah. It's going to be fun. I don't think they've ever wrestled in Toronto. So this is going to be a fun time.
Yeah. And we got a tag team match in the women's division. The WWE Women's Champ, Tiffany Stratton, teaming up with the great Toronto's own Trish Stratus.
Hell yeah.
And they'll be taking on Nia Jax and Candice LeRae. First off, shouts out to Candice LeRae. One of the, I don't want to say best, but just like in that category of really good and hasn't gotten that opportunity to really shine it on a certain stage. She's definitely eating the pin here.
Yeah.
But to be standing in that ring with the current women's champion, with a legend in Trish Stratus,
great look
for her. She's done great with the role that she's been given. So shout out to Candice LeRae for that.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is a vehicle for Tiffany Stratton. And I told my girl this, like, I'm so happy that they pivoted and they realized that the money in this match, if they really want to do Tiffany Stratton and Charlotte at WrestleMania, is to make Tiffany Stratton a white me baby face.
Yeah.
Give her all of the love and energy from the crowd and have her channel that into this match against Charlotte, because Charlotte's not that. No. Charlotte's not a baby face. It's Charlotte shouldn't be getting cheers ever. We talked about this the last time. So I'm glad that they've started to pivot it, and giving her, Tiffany, this tag team match with Trish Stratus is a great way to get her some baby face love. So they'll get the win.
And it's not a situation where it feels like they're desperate to get Tiffany's reaction. She doesn't have to do anything. She can sneeze and get one of the bigger pops the entire night. Like it's easy for her right now. And they're making it even easier for her by doing this for her. I like this. Like we said, I think Candice is going to eat the pin. I guess my only question is going to be who gets the pin. It could be Tiff, but they could give it to Trish. Just yeah, probably Toronto. Trish. So.
Mm-hmm.
I think it'll be Trish pinning Candice. And yeah, I mean, that's a good spot for Candice, obviously, like you said. And it's cool for Trish, too, because obviously it's a Sky Dome. And
yeah, exactly.
WrestleMania 18, she did not win for whatever reason. So, it's a chance to do that and be good.
It will be. I guess my only thing, I guess it's not really, I guess it is a complaint. Can they figure out what they're doing with Nia after this match? Can they, if they want to finish off her and Tiff, can they just like do that?
Well,
and then like, because I just she's floating and it's not. I don't think it's helping.
I don't think so.
It's weird. But anyways, yeah. Now we can roll back to the chamber.
Yeah, women's world for a spot against. I guess this will be Rhea Ripley.
Yeah,
at WrestleMania 41. Or depending
on who wins that match, but yeah.
That's crazy. How much I'm watching Raw on Netflix right now. Liv Morgan, Bianca Belair, Alexa Bliss, Bayley, Naomi, and Roxanne Perez. Think this is Bianca's moment to shine, and we are getting, finally, our Rhea and Bianca WrestleMania match.
I am going to be different. I don't think that that's happening. Because I think that they're not losing those tag titles yet. I don't know where Jade is. I don't know what they're doing there. But even if Jade came back on Monday during that match, if Liv and Raquel were the ones to attack her, she wouldn't go after Bianca and Naomi and toss them the titles. So they'd be champions going into the chamber. They'd have to lose before that within the span of 6 weeks, which can happen, but they wouldn't normally do that. They did with Cena, with him losing the U.S. title. You knew that was bouncing up, but they haven't done anything with that on TV either. And it feels like if they were going to do Rhea and Bianca, they would have teased that. The one thing that they have teased, though, is Bayley. She's been around the title since she got to Raw. They've been doing the Roxanne thing, but I think that's a red herring in the way that Tiff was a red herring last year for Bianca and everyone else. I don't think she's necessarily hurt if they miss her at Mania. And everyone else, I think, cancels each other out. I don't think Alexa's winning. She could, I guess, but like, I think that she's going to end up doing something with Liv. It's not going to be Naomi. And then you have Roxanne, who I don't think they're going to push quite yet. They could. I don't think that they're going to do that, though. And then it's like, okay, it's not going to be Liv because we just went over this. And they're not reigniting Liv and Rhea. And the other factor is that Rhea and Io match. Bayley and Io still have unfinished business. I think that she could loom large there. I wouldn't be surprised if this is the match that had everyone wants a world title match to have a triple threat around it. I wouldn't be surprised if that happens here, if something shoddy happens because Bayley decides to do something out of a reaction that happens on that ensuing Monday. I'm watching the long game here. So I think that based on what they've done on the TV, I think it's going to be Bayley. I think she's going back-to-back to the main events. Also, my thing is, I don't think Rhea's losing. And I think if they were doing Rhea Bianca, that Bianca would win, especially in this scenario. I don't think that's happening yet. So the person who wins this match is going to have to lose. So the person who loses the least from that is Bayley.
Yeah, I mean, I see where you're coming from. It just... I know it's hard to see that Bianca and Rhea would be there and they wouldn't do it, but I mean, it just feels like it should have some more build than the build.
That's the other thing. Like, if you're going to do that, first off, you got to tease it. They haven't teased Bianca and Rhea in months.
But I guess that also, like, how much build does it need? It kind of builds itself. I don't know. It
does, but I think that both of them would want more out of it.
Yeah. Yeah,
you
but
can
I mean,
do the autopilot thing, but I think people would want more of that. And not that I buy into the temperature takes on online, but people want more.
Yeah, no, that's fine. I mean, I'm gonna go with Bianca, but I mean, you made a really good case for Bailey. It wouldn't surprise me. I think I'm gonna go with Bianca just because she feels like the safe pick.
It feels like you know the match that you're getting. I'm not saying Bailey's not, you know, a great wrestler or capable against Rhea.
I think you know what you're getting
in that Bianca and Rhea match.
You do, but this is the thing. Like, they can lay it out like this, but you can still argue that against it because of a theoretical thing that you think.
Yeah.
I understand that. My thing is that even when Bailey does what she does and she gets back up to relevancy and she's plotting this all on the TV, why is that not the obvious pick?
No.
That's my argument comes out of perception.
Yeah.
So that would be where I would say.
Yeah.
What I would say to that.
No, that definitely makes sense.
Be interesting either way. I mean, I do think those are the two that I would, if you're going to win, it has to be either Bianca or Bailey. Alexa ain't been back for as long.
No,
Naomi don't have the heat to go up against Rhea. Roxanne's not ready yet, as much as people love to say, oh, she's ready. You can't just throw her right into the WrestleMania event.
Yeah, because if you do that, you're throwing cold water on her.
Yeah, because she's going to lose.
Yeah.
It's the same shit they did with Shayna a couple years ago.
Yes,
Shayna
exactly.
lost. You know. Yeah. And then I'm tired of Rhea and Liv. I'm fine if I don't see that for another 2, maybe 3 years.
Yeah.
So yeah, it would have to be one of the two in my eyes.
Yeah.
All right. 2009 is a very ungood year for professional wrestling. However, there's a little bit of fun in there. We'll get to that.
Yes, we got a couple.
We gotta talk about the Bears fucking off in the final week of the season.
Yeah,
fucking bitch.
If we can just avoid talking about the wild card game between the Falcons and the Cardinals, that'd be great.
Ain't nobody gotta talk about the damn wild card game between the Falcons and the Cardinals, man. I don't even remember that damn game.
that game was so funny. I remember just the flea flicker to Fitzgerald. I'm like, fuck, this is over.
Yeah. All right. Top 10 movies for January 2009. Number 10, The Unborn. Number 9, Slumdog Millionaire. Number 8, My Bloody Valentine. Number 7, Hotel for Dogs. Number 6, Bedtime Stories. Number 5, Bride Wars. Number 4, Curious Case of Benjamin Button. Number 3.
Great top 3 this is.
Yeah, Marley and Me. Number 2, Paul Blart Mall Cop. And number 1, Gran Torino.
Jesus.
So big month for movies.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yes. And all songs to appear in the top 5, there are not many. Single Ladies was number 1 for most of the month. Just Dance also got to number 1. Live Your Life still around at number 2. Heartless peaked at number 3, which real shame
about
all that. Love Story got up to number 4, and Womanizer got up to number 5.
Ooh, okay, Womanizer is fucking banger. Let's just say that right off the bat. That's crazy. Like, we've now entered the Lady Gaga era of music.
Yes.
With 2009, because Just Dance is going to come out, and then the summer Poker Face is going to come out, and then you cannot turn back from the strength of Stephanie Germanata. You will never hear me say a bad word about Lady Gaga. She is amazing.
All right. A couple releases in the WWE. D'Lo Brown, Val Venus, Bam Neely were released. And then Jimmy Corderas, Kevin Thorne, Tim White, Sean Spears, and Mike Cruel, Ron Simmons, Sergeant Slaughter, and Hardcore Holly.
It will not be the end of the road for one Gavin Spears.
Yeah,
he'll be back. Beginning. And then he'll be back a second time. So,
really,
you know.
Goes to show the aura of Sean Spears, you know. I mean, filler cuts. Very much filler cuts, which, by the way, I would like to send some condolences out to my one and only Isla Dawn. I'm sorry. You get through this, and you will be better because of it.
Yeah.
That's tough.
Those are a shame. Tough. Like, none of them were like, oh, it's someone that I would have, like, really fought to keep. But just in general, like, oh, it's a shame.
There are a couple that was like, okay, you know, Sid needs to not be in WWE. Say it needs to go somewhere else and be great outside of WWE. Mm-hmm. Isla Dawn, I was like, I don't understand where that came out of. Whether she was making too much money, maybe? I don't know.
I guess
but,
so.
You know.
Because it's like, they held on. They've been holding on to Alba, but they got rid of Eli, even though they were both doing tag work.
Yeah.
What?
Kind of weird. All right, going to just run through the Wrestling Observer Newsletter Awards real quick, because WWE took home a bunch of them. It was a different time.
It was.
Chris Jericho, Wrestler of the Year, beating out Edge and Shawn Michaels.
That's deserved. Third.
Bryan Danielson for Most Outstanding Wrestler, which I believe just is just in-ring. Which,
yeah, it's just in-ring.
Fair enough.
By that, yeah, but at that point, yes. That
Brock Lesnar, Best Box Office Draw. Fair enough. Did incredible business for the
UFC. This was before the... before he won the title from Frank Mir?
Yes. Yeah.
I'll say, because I think he won it in like... Oh, no, sorry. He won a title from what's-his-name in the summer.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he won it from Randy Couture.
Randy Couture.
Yes. Feud of the Year, Chris Jericho and Shawn Michaels. Hard to argue with that. Tag Team of the Year, Morrison and Miz beat out Kevin Steen and El Generico and Beer Money, which I was a little surprised by.
Yeah.
That's a really good top three, actually.
Yeah.
It is a good top three. It's really funny to think about this, but for like a year, The Miz was actually an internet favorite.
Miz and Morrison were really fun together.
Maybe less. Just the span of this tag run.
He also won Most Improved, so... Observer's big on The Miz. Chris Jericho, best on interviews. John Cena, most charismatic. Best technical wrestler, also Bryan Danielson. Best flying wrestler, Evan Bourne. Most overrated, Vladimir Kozlov. Most underrated, MVP. Promotion of the year went to UFC instead of WWE, which is also very funny. Match of the year, Shawn Michaels against Chris Jericho from...
No Mercy.
Yeah. What else we got? Best television announcer, Matt Stryker. They got that one wrong.
Golly. Remember people used to fucking go crazy for Matt Stryker all because he wasn't Jerry the King Lawler?
Yep. Worst television announcer, Mike Adamley. Can't really argue with that one.
What were the others?
Yeah, I mean, you could argue with that one based off of what we know now.
Yes. Mike Adamley, Don West, which no.
Whoa. Don West, worst announcer? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, Don West was second. Michael Cole, Todd Grisham, Mike Tenay were your top five.
Who the fuck ever thought Don West was a bad announcer? Don West kicked ass.
That's the 2008 TNA effect in effect.
Yeah,
in my
has
opinion.
To be.
By then, that he got branded 100%.
WrestleMania got Show of the Year, which I mean, it's a fine WrestleMania. Fair enough, I guess.
I guess
I like 24 a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. Looking back at all the pay per views, it's kind of like what? Is it either Royal Rumble or WrestleMania?
Yeah.
I don't really remember the TNA ones, so I can't vouch for those or the ROH ones.
Worst major wrestling show was Survivor Series.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Most disgusting promotional tactic, Jeff Hardy teased overdose to get hits. Fair. That's also what they did at Survivor Series. Well, kind of. I mean, they did it at the start of Survivor Series. Worst match of the year, Triple H, Kozlov, Edge. Worst feud of the year, Rey Mysterio against Kane, which makes sense because it was forever and there was no point to it. Best gimmick, Santino Marella.
I mean, yeah, that was pretty good.
Yeah.
Is that Santino or Santina?
Santino.
Okay. Yeah. No, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, so that is... about it.
Slide aside on Santino, since you mentioned Santino, you know, yes. WWE's been like, you know, like rolling these live streams on YouTube of old matches, old Royal Rumbles before Royal Rumble season. They've been doing Elimination Chamber lately, and I totally forgot it. I want to say it's a 2012 Elimination Chamber because Daniel Bryan's in it and Daniel Bryan's champion. The final guy that he beat or hit with a LaBelle lock to win was Santino Marella. The way the crowd was popping and hoping that Santino was able to break out of that and knowing good and goddamn well Santino's not going to win the world championship. There's no way in hell. But the reaction from the crowd, the way the crowd loved the hell out of Santino, and even this is what 4 years after the fact that we're talking, you know, I think we might have to start some Hall of Fame consideration for Santino Marella. I think Santino as a character is probably top 10, maybe top 5 of this era that we're going through.
I think so. I mean, he was very entertaining at whatever they gave him.
He was,
like, at all times. So.
He's still entertaining, man.
Yeah.
Like, it's funny to watch the clips of TNA and him and his daughter, and he's still funny as hell.
Mm-hmm.
Rare talent, man.
All right, real quick, do some NFL stuff. The last week of the regular season, week 17, Chicago Bears had a win in their in game against the Houston Texans, and they lost 31-24 after going up 10-0 in the first quarter. Decided not to cover Andre Johnson.
Boy.
I don't know. I mean, I would have not let him get 10 catches for 150 yards in the biggest game of the season.
So you guys would have been the six if you won.
Philly ended up replacing us.
Okay. Okay.
And Philly got all the way to the NFC Championship game. So it's, you know, I believe they beat Minnesota. They go on to face the Giants, and then, you know, that's a toss-up right there. Because you're asking me to believe that Kyle Orton can beat Eli Manning, and I don't know that. Donovan McNabb, yes. Eli, I don't know.
Last Bears game for Kyle Orton as well.
Yeah, we're about to enter a strange new world of a decent Chicago, not a great Chicago Bear quarterback, a decent Chicago Bear quarterback.
Yeah.
All right. Month of January for sports was a wild one. You started off with the Winter Classic at Wrigley Field with Red Wings and the Blackhawks.
That was probably one of the very first hockey games I actually remember watching.
Same. Yeah, it was a good one because it was a big deal. It was obviously the first time they brought the Winter Classic to Wrigley. And
Detroit and Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
They really played up the Patrick Kane, Jonathan Taves, the young guns of Chicago against, you know, the elite alongs the defending champs in Detroit. And,
yep.
You know, it was a spectacle, and obviously, you know, Detroit kind of ran with it, but it was really fun to see. And I hate that they've done two of these at Wrigley Field and the Blackhawks have gotten butt-fucked in both of them.
Yeah, that's not a deal.
Utah beat Alabama in the Sugar Bowl.
What the fuck? just wait a year.
Yeah. So then you have the NFL playoffs. The Chargers beat the Colts in overtime. Darren Sproles ran for a touchdown to beat the Colts again. They beat them in 2007. So they are kind of, you know, they're a thorn in their side. And the Cardinals beat the Falcons 30-24. That game was actually closer than I remembered it being. Moving on, I believe Jim Rice and Ricky Henderson were both elected into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
The Ravens beat the Dolphins and the Eagles beat the Vikings, like we said. Let's see, moving forward, Texas beat Ohio State 24-21 in the Fiesta Bowl. Colt McCoy found Quan Cosby with 16 seconds left. I remember the end of that game. Let's see, moving along here, trying to find anything that's really interesting or catches my eye. Florida won their second national title in 3 years after Tim Tebow beat Sam Bradford, who, of course, won the Heisman this year. Tebow won the Heisman in 2007, so it was the matchup of former Heisman winners, so to speak, in Miami. Florida took care of business against the top-ranked Sooners. They are champs again.
Makes sense. Fair enough.
Yes. And then, you know, you know what happened in the playoffs. The Giants lost to the Eagles. The Cardinals won again. They made it to the Super Bowl to play the Steelers, who were able to beat the Ravens in the AFC Championship game after the Ravens upset the top-seeded Tennessee Titans.
Yes.
Yeah, Tennessee, I never felt like they should have been a top seed in the playoffs.
And that was the year they played Pittsburgh, and they stomped on the terrible towel, and everyone was like, oh, you're screwed now. You have the curses on you. What happens? Like, they lose.
Tennessee's only really, I mean, they've been back to what, one AFC Championship game since then? A couple years ago?
They did.
Yeah, they faced Kansas City in 2022.
Yeah, there hasn't really been a lot of fun times in Tennessee. And, you know, maybe you could trace it back to there. I don't know. Where do I want to go? Carolina and Arizona? I don't really care about that. The Eagles and the Giants was interesting because that was the last game at Giants Stadium. Eagle fans can say that they closed at Giants Stadium, which I feel like is a very funny little mention there.
No. The MetLife comes in 2010 because I went to a Falcons Giants game in 2009.
Sorry, final playoff game. Giants I apologize. State. The final playoff game at Giants Stadium.
They went 10-6 in 2010 and missed. They went 8-8 in 2009. That's right.
Yeah.
I think they started off somewhat unbeaten and then fell off the wagon again, just like the Broncos did too. Because the Broncos hired Josh McDaniels. That also happened in January.
Oh yeah, no. Do I even say thanks, Josh McDaniels, for the bad trade that got the Bears Jay Cutler? I don't know. two first round picks. Jesus Christ. Yeah, the Rams hired Spags, and soon enough we're gonna learn that Spags is not a head coach.
Nope.
Yeah, no, fair enough. It's a really bad postseason. None of
these
games are good.
Like, I think your conference championship games and then obviously the Super Bowl are the two really quality games on this list.
Title games were really good.
Yeah. Okay, but yeah, I don't know.
Pittsburgh Baltimore was epic as hell because of the rivalry at the time. The hitting in that game was unbelievable. Mm-hmm. That was also the game that McGahee and Clark knocked each other out.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, gosh. And then the other side, Arizona had an 18-point lead at half, and then the Eagles just come storming back. I think I remember like a real like big bomb from Deshaun to from McNabb to Deshaun Jackson.
Yep, I remember that too.
Yeah. But you know, Cardinals pulled it out because Kurt Warner is that dude.
Yep.
All right.
I will say this: would it have been interesting to see a Steelers Eagles Super Bowl?
Yes.
Yeah, actually.
The Sheets versus Wawa Super Bowl.
They had a really good regular season game that year, too. So they had a – that would have been real fun.
Mm.
Okay, yeah, so we can get towards the Royal Rumble here. But before we do that, Pierce, I know you're at the Raw leading up to it where Vince McMahon got his head kicked in by Randy Orton, among other things. So if you want
to – There was so much that happened at that show. First off, shout out to Ricky Ortiz because – goodness, you could watch this is when they did ECW before mm-hmm. Raw, and you could watch Ricky Ortiz get zero pop and be like, that guy's gonna be out of here in 6 months. So that's one thing I remember. I also remember the noise during Boogeyman's introduction when he would like smack the clock on his head and then the big bang would happen. I remember being scared like shit from that. And I'm up on the second decks and like, you know, facing the Tron. I'm not close. Fucking scared the shit out of me. So I understand how you guys feel about it. But yeah, there was a lot of, you know, interesting things. This was smack dab in the middle of the JBL owns Shawn Michaels storyline.
Oh yeah.
And that's the one and only time that I got to see Shawn Michaels get active. At a WWE event, which, you know, as one of my goats, that kind of sucks, but, you know, it was fun to see Shawn up live in person. CM Punk faced William Regal for the Intercontinental Championship, came out Chicago flag. He won the Intercontinental Championship in his hometown. I think that it's also very noteworthy because I think it's the quickest that anyone's ever become a Triple Crown champion. Because he won the world title in June. Shit. I think he won the tag titles with Kofi over the fall. Yeah. And then here he won the IC strap. So I think it's the quickest anyone's ever gone and done the Triple Crown. Also, Layla. My Layla! And then, yeah, it was an interesting build-up to the punt, right? Because there was some stuff happening with Jericho and Stephanie.
Yeah, because they fired Jericho the week before, so like he's on Orton's side now.
Mm-hmm. And
Vince wasn't on TV for when did we see him last? Because it's been to Shane and Stephanie and Mike Adamly. And
it had been a minute. That was definitely a surprise to the crowd when Vince popped up, but definitely like, you know, Stephanie, Jericho was kissing ass to try to get his job back. Ended up getting his job back. And all of a sudden, here's the confrontation with Orton, and the punt happens, and the air just was sucked out of the arena. Never forget that. Like, obviously, like, everyone knew that it was a work, but everyone sold it so well. Randy and his craziness and the rest of Legacy coming down and kind of, you know, shielding him to the back. The disgust from everybody that was backstage that came out. Everyone in the crowd was just a gasp. And so that's how you pull off an amazing segment. that was truly one of the best Raw segments I had ever seen, then and now.
Yeah, and I mean, like, you look at what it's done for Orton, like, obviously he's a big babyface now, and he's beloved, but, like, the entire thing through the 2010s, like,
he was a crazy motherfucker.
Heel for the most point, yeah, because of, like, this was the catalyst, and he'll do it to Stephanie, and, you know, it'll... So, yeah, I mean, this is, like, his launching point is, and, you know, this is where he's going to become, like, a true top guy, too. You know, we'll talk about it with the Rumble, too. I mean, you know, WrestleMania 25, how they get there and how they do it is bad, but, like, you know.
How they get there is actually good.
Well, how they get there is good, yeah.
Execution.
Exactly. Yes.
That.
Yes, that's what I meant. But, like, yeah, it's crazy. It's a big moment for Randy Orton, and he's on the right path here.
Yeah.
All right. Should we get into the Royal Rumble?
Yes.
Okay. Oh, yeah, we have two names for the WWE Hall of Fame as well, and it's Stone Cold and Bill Watts.
Yeah, they did the video for Stone Cold, set to Cult of Personality.
Bill Watts is dead, right?
He's not.
He's not.
Which is surprising.
Damn.
You'd like him to be, but, you know, he somehow is still not.
Fuck. That sucks.
Victoria announced her retirement at the SmackDown tapings in Omaha, which technically
yes, but she's going to keep wrestling.
Yeah.
And Rikishi's sons, Jonathan and Joshua, are working on the indies under the name of the Samoan Soldiers.
Oh, then.
Good for them.
Good for them, man.
All right. Yeet. 2009 Royal Rumble, January 26, 2009, Detroit, Michigan. Let It Rock, Kevin Rudolph featuring Lil Wayne as your intro song.
Song was everywhere.
It was everywhere at this time.
They really tried to make Kevin Rudolph a thing.
Yes, they did.
And listen, this song's good. They also like don't play Lil Wayne's part on it at all.
No, they
the
don't.
Whole night, which is like the best part of the song.
So, yeah, you know, it's really funny. Enough. They just don't play it.
Before that, Michael Cole and Jerry Lawler inform us that Vince McMahon has a concussion and maybe major neck injuries after Randy punted him. You know what? Personally, I hope he dies. I'll say it. So we get to the action. Matt Hardy, who lost the ECW Championship a couple weeks ago to Jack Swagger, is now getting a rematch for that ECW Championship. And, you know, no video package setting things up here, but you can kind of just a rematch. And, you know, they actually have a really nice match. I like this quite a bit. I thought it was a lot of fun. Swagger retains and gets the win. But, yeah, I mean, the whole time during his match, it's like, you know, the crowd really likes Matt Hardy. He's like a nice baby face. He can really be an anchor on ECW. And instead, they're going to do some dumb shit that no one wants to see with him instead.
This is the match that I could give two shits about, because here's Jack Swagger, who I genuinely couldn't give two shits about. And then here comes Matt Hardy in those bright ass purple tights that just scream, don't give a shit about me. They gave him 10 minutes.
They did, like, because I was enjoying it, and then I'm like, oh, this is kind of long. Like, they don't really need this much time, but, like, yeah,
No, you did not.
Hardys are on NXT this week, by the way.
That's going to be really fun to see them back. I think they get a call to the Hall.
I think so, too.
I know they seem to be doing Demolition now since they're, like, back with the Legends deal, but, you know, do both. Who cares? Do two tag teams.
Yeah, why can't you? Who's saying you can't do two tag teams? You did tag teams and factions. There was the year in Brooklyn where Harlem Heat and DX went in.
Yep.
Just saying.
Yep. Melina defeats Beth Phoenix to become the new women's champion, so good for Melina. Then we have a video package leading into our next match. Shawn Michaels, still employed by JBL. There was a number one contenders match on Raw between Michaels, JBL, Orton, and Jericho. An elimination match, and Michaels helped JBL, and he was supposed to let him win. And then he did lay down for him, and he did let him win. He wrestled Cena the next week, and then after that, Cena told him that he thought Shawn was a broken man. That's why he was with JBL, but he still got it. He doesn't need to be doing that. Shawn says he does need to be doing it. It's what's best for his family. He's just doing it, you know, because that's why he has to do it. Go back to the arena. JBL tells Shawn that as long as he wins the title tonight, their partnership is over. JBL will give him all the money that he needs, and they can go their separate ways. And Shawn's just kind of standing, contemplating that. And as he goes to leave after JBL, he runs into The Undertaker, who tells him sometimes it's hell to get to heaven.
Let me tell you, people were probably pretty pleased that Shawn ran into Taker at the time. Because I'll tell you this, we don't talk about it because of what happened in Survivor Series and how awful that match was. The online rummaging was that they were going to do Undertaker versus Kozlov, and nobody wanted it.
Yeah, well, I'm
nobody wanted it. Everyone wanted them to do one thing, Shawn versus Taker because of the way that they set it up with the 07 Rumble and the 08 Rumble and everything onward. It seemed right. They were in Texas, but it seemed like they weren't going to do it.
No.
If you can believe that.
I'm glad that, you know, common sense prevailed here.
Jesus. Yeah. All right. So we move to Cena versus JBL, which unfortunately is not very good.
No. And I mean, again, they've had a lot of good matches before.
The booking of the feud sucks.
Yeah.
I mean, no one cares about this Michaels thing.
Yeah. I mean, he's out there. He's, you know, all conflicted and stuff. Because exactly. He doesn't want to get involved. But if he has to, he has to. So then eventually we get a ref bump. And then both guys are down with a double clothesline. Sean gets in the ring and Sweet Chin Music's both of them. And then puts JBL on Cena and then leaves. The new ref finally comes down and gets two, and then Cena gets up and hits the FU and beats JBL. So you can assume the JBL and Sean stuff's over, even though he didn't do his job, but
yeah,
we'll have to tune into Raw, I guess.
I guess. We move to Edge versus Jeff Hardy for the WWE title, another match the internet had its own idea of. And the fact that they announced that it was a no DQ match didn't help that. People did not think Matt Hardy was going to come out at the end of this match to attack Jeff. People thought that Christian was coming back because the word was Christian signed with WWE.
Yes.
And so this match played out how it did.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's a couple nice spots. Like, Edge, bangs Jeff's head off all three announce tables. Like, that's a really good bit. And Jeff puts Chavo through the table from the top of the ladder. But, like, you're really, again, just waiting for the other shoe to fall for the no disqualification thing. And then it just ends up being Matt turning on him and aligning with Edge, which... Not even aligning with Edge, but just helping Edge in the first place, all things considered,
is so stupid.
Stupid.
So stupid.
No one wanted to see Matt and Jeff wrestle each other, I don't think.
Nope.
You know,
like, it's almost like no one wants to see brothers wrestle each other unless they're Canadian and really, really good at this.
Yeah, I mean, and the whole thing, like, they even said this during the match. Well, first of all, leading up to this, like, Jeff was barely on SmackDown because someone messed with his pyro or something and someone tried to run him off the road. Mm-hmm. So, like, he's barely around. They said this is his first title defense, and then he just loses like that. Like, they made him look like a real asshole.
They really did.
They did the Rey Mysterio thing from a couple years ago.
Yeah.
Like, you know, he's the champion, but he's not the most important part of the show. But even Jeff even felt like more of a important part of the show, and they still just... I don't get it. I don't get why you committed to him just to do this, you know, a month later.
No, it was very nonsensical, but hey.
All right. Let's get to the Royal Rumble. Before that, Chris Jericho tells Randy that he supports what he did to Vince, and he wishes Randy luck tonight because he knows Randy's going to need it. Also says that maybe they could work together. It's not how Royal Rumble works.
No, it's not.
Rey Mysterio and John Morrison are your first two. They do some flips and such, and Carlito comes out third. MVP Kali Kozlov. Got six guys in the ring, no eliminations yet. Kozlov eliminates Kali, MVP, and Carlito. He's about to eliminate Rey, but then Triple H comes out and eliminates Kozlov. So we're done with Kozlov.
Thank God.
Randy's after Triple H.
Why did that happen?
Why did Randy and Triple H come out 7 and 8?
Yeah, like they built the whole thing up. Wouldn't it have just been better to kind of just like build it up again?
I mean,
considering the way that the back half of this Rumble goes, like yeah.
Randy, JTG, Ted Jr., Jericho. So I mean, maybe flip Randy and Jericho and just have Triple H and Jericho come out back to back instead.
Yeah,
I
mean, that would be fine.
Mike Knox. Again, there's about nine guys in the ring. Nothing's really happening. It's very boring, which is not what you want for a Royal Rumble. Miz is here. And Randy finally hits a bunch of RKOs, and Triple H hits a pedigree on him and eliminates Miz and Morrison. Rey goes over to... Rey almost gets eliminated, but he stands on Miz and Morrison to save himself, and finally something interesting happens in the Royal Rumble. Finlay, Cody, Undertaker. Undertaker eliminates JTG. Again, still like 13 guys in the ring and 5 eliminations so far. Goldust is back. Goes right for Cody. They brawl for a bit before Randy hits the RKO and orders Cody to throw Goldust out, which he does.
He does.
That was good, too. CM Punk, Mark Henry, Shelton Benjamin, William Regal. Undertaker whips Mark Henry towards the ropes, and Rey Mysterio pulls the rope down, and it's an elimination for, I guess, Rey. So yeah. Mark Henry's out.
There's too many people in the ring.
Yes. Kofi, Undertaker eliminates Shelton. Kane's here. Finally thought the ring might get cleared out. It does not.
Nope.
Undertaker's bleeding, by the way, which I don't know how that happened, but CM Punk eliminates William Regal. R-Truth is next. And then we finally get a surprise. Rob Van Dam, who has not gone to TNA yet, even at this point.
No, not yet.
He will be back, but he still has some other stuff to do. But nice to see him in Michigan. Brian Kendrick's next. Once again, too many people in the ring.
Too many people.
He eliminates Kofi. Triple H eliminates Kendrick. Dolph Ziggler comes out and does his introduction thing to Kane and gets eliminated. Santino gets eliminated in 1 second.
Yeah.
That's where that spot comes from.
Yep.
Hacksaw Jim Duggan is number 29. And then Big Show is your 30th.
And people want to say that, well, I shouldn't say people want to say Rumble was bad this year, but Jesus Christ.
Is Big Show going to clear out the ring? Maybe. He eliminates Hacksaw, Truth, and Punk. And then Finlay eliminates Rey Mysterio and Mike Knox. Kane eliminates Finlay. Jericho eliminates Rob Van Dam. Undertaker eliminates Jericho. Legacy eliminates Kane. And suddenly we're down to about five guys. Maybe didn't need to take that long.
No, I don't think it needed to take that long.
Big Show goes after Triple H. Legacy goes after Undertaker. Undertaker chokeslams all three of them. And then him and Big Show stand in the ring and box for a little bit. Big Show and Undertaker both end up on the apron. Randy RKO's Big Show off the apron for elimination, and then Big Show pulls Undertaker down while he's standing on the ground, which should not count, but it does because the Royal Rumble has stupid rules. It's Triple H against Legacy as your final four. He's able to eliminate Ted and Cody, but as he's getting Cody over the top rope, Randy comes over and dumps him over, and Randy Orton is your Royal Rumble winner for the first time.
Yeah, it's a really shitty Rumble.
It's the worst one that we've watched, which is unfortunate, but like we watched, this is the
seventh,
and yeah, I mean, we've had really good ones, like five, six, seven,
eight.
Eight,
crazy too, but yeah, and I mean, like all of the other ones, like 2002, I guess, is what it is, but like all the other ones are loaded with kind of moments and stuff, and this one. The moments at the end, you know, where you get Triple H with Legacy, but it felt like there was a better way to get there.
Yeah, and especially, like, having them both in early. Your back half, as you said, was really underwhelming. The one surprise is like, oh, it's the guy that was here a couple years ago. It's not really too much of a surprise in Rob Van Dam. He doesn't even stick around in order to really, like, truly brand him as a quality surprise. This was just a mid-ass Royal Rumble. Not sure they're going to get better over the next few years, but yeah, this was a sign that WWE is starting to lose the fastball.
Yeah. So. Yeah. But yeah, that was it for the Royal Rumble.
Yep. We will be back to recap Elimination Chamber and the start of the road to WrestleMania. You can follow all of us on X. You can follow the Barber's Chair. Combine's coming up. Get ready for more content from the guys. If you haven't checked out all the content from Super Bowl weekend, trust me, it still holds. Go ahead and tap in. Go ahead and subscribe to the Patreon. That's kind of all I got as far as like a business. Oh, we got some new merch that's going to be dropping pretty, pretty soon. And may I say, it is gorgeous. To tease it, it is the prince who was promised. That's all I can say for now. Just wait until we drop it, and then you can buy it, and you can wear it around all your friends, and you can wear it to your summer functions, because it's that hard, people. It really is that hard. Anyway, appreciate you guys for rocking with us today on Ruthless Aggression. We're going to go enjoy this lovely Sunday afternoon. For Rob and for Chris, I'm Pierce. You guys have a wonderful day. Take it easy.